Grace and peace to you from God our Father, and from Jesus Christ our Lord. If you have been part of any businesses, one of the things they always talk about is that you need to have a good mission and goal in mind. That if you don't have a clear mission, then you don't really know how to get all your people in line and to understand how they can help. You can really get divided in what you're doing. There's it helps people to get passionate if they understand what the mission and goals of the business are. They can really get behind things. It really answers the why. Why are we doing this? Well, because this matches our mission. This is what we're trying to do in serving people or helping or making the best type of this. Here at Morrison, we have a mission statement to glorify God as we gather around the gospel, we grow in the gospel and go with the gospel. This guides what we're doing, helps us to know what to say yes to, what to say no to, and in different ideas. When it comes to missions and having a meaningful mission, it's so important that we see that we have that. A meaningful mission. Because if you don't see your mission, if you don't see your goals, it can be kind of hard in life. I've mentioned this before. If someone loses a job or if they are retired after working for so many years, and then all of a sudden on Monday they no longer have that same mission, they're not looked up to in the same way, and unless they can find other good hobbies, other work, it may feel like they don't have a purpose or a mission. In today's text, though, we're going to see that we all have a meaningful mission at all parts of our life because we're Christian. And what does that mean? Well, we're going to look at the different parts of this meaningful mission, even though it's not an easy one. That's what we really see right away with our text. As the apostles, as the disciples, those who had witnessed Jesus' death and resurrection, we saw that in our gospel lesson, that they had seen, they had been with Jesus for 3 years. They then saw him arrested and crucified. And then they witnessed him alive. And now they have been sent out to go and teach and preach. It says that the apostles perform many signs and wonders among the people. And so they had this great mission, but even though they were sharing it and people were following it, was it the most popular mission? Was it the most popular thing? Well, we see what happens that in verse 17, the high priest and his associates, who were members of the party of the Sadducees, were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and brought them into the public jail. The truth is that their message was an unpopular mission. Same as ours. As we go out and share the gospel, as we share about Jesus, it's an unpopular mission. That there's many people that don't want to hear about Jesus. They don't want to hear about the gospel. They don't want to hear about sin and that we fall short and that we need a Savior. People don't like it. And I think at times, we live in this country that has been predominantly supportive of Christianity. Some might call it even a Christian nation. But what we see, we get shocked when anyone opposes Christianity. And we almost become a victim. And how dare someone say something against Christianity? When Christianity has been hated for thousands of years. And if you look around the world, there are countries where people are persecuted all the time. And so for us to understand that this message is not one that is very popular, that our mission of sharing about the forgiveness of sins, about salvation in Jesus alone, it's not a popular one. We're going to meet opposition. We're going to meet people that want nothing to do with it and say that it's foolish to be here on Sunday morning to read the Bible. It certainly is an unpopular mission. And then we look a little bit at where the opposition comes from. We see that there were people in the church that were opposing it. But then as they are arrested, they're sent to jail, and all of a sudden an angel gets them out of jail. And they go, instead of, usually when you escape jail, what do? You run. But here, what do we see them do? They go and preach. And so the leaders bring them back in and say, we told you not to teach in his name. Then Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than human beings. The truth is that this mission has many enemies. And what we could say is it has internal and external enemies. What do we mean by that? Well, we certainly see how the apostles faced the opposition of the church leaders and the government, that they didn't want them going out and sharing that message. But to consider even, it was part of the church. It was an internal enemy, the religious people that didn't like this. And another way, so we see that some external enemies, but also that they were part of the religion, or what should be the religion, can see that they're internal as well. But another issue here is, look back at John, our gospel lesson, where the apostles had been with Jesus. They knew Jesus had told them over and over again that he was going to die and rise again. And they hear reports that he's risen, and what are the disciples doing? They're locked up in a room, afraid. They're fearful. And it says that a week later, they're doing the same thing. So not only are there external enemies, but when we hear these words, we must obey God rather than human beings, we must obey God rather than men, so often we hear it in the context of the government or someone out there telling us you can't do something, and it's usually not everything about the gospel, but it's maybe just something I don't want to do. But think about this, that we must obey God rather than men also has to do with our sinful nature and our fears. And that the enemies aren't always just external, but they're also internal. People that are fearful or selfish and just want it all about them, and aren't about the mission. And so instead of being about Jesus, being about this mission, they're about themselves. And so sometimes we have to tell ourselves we have to obey God rather than men, what my heart desires, what my heart thinks is best, or even within the church. When people are saying, we have to do it this way, or we can't do it that way, well, do we? Is that really how it must be done? Or what can we do for the mission? How can we further spread the gospel? How can we go forward? And if the enemies, if what is causing people to be afraid, just like the disciples locked up, is fear, or a lack of understanding, then we have to say we must obey God and pursue the mission that we are called to do. Because what type of mission is it? We see what happens, that God helps release the apostles from prison. And then, as we said, they don't run away, but instead they go out and preach. It's a relentless mission that God is going to continue to push. And then once we know of the truth, how can we but share? How can we but go in the face of opposition, but push forward that mission of sharing Jesus and the truth? The truth of what? Well, it's a mission that, notice what the apostles say. It says that we are witnesses of these things. That they really saw what had happened. And what had happened was that God, that the God of our ancestors, raised Jesus from the dead, whom you killed by hanging him on a cross. God exalted him to his own right hand as the Prince and Savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. They're witnesses of this truth. And it's a truth, so this mission is rooted in reality. As we go and share, this is not just a myth, it's not just a great story, but it's something that really happened that changes things for everyone. It means repentance and salvation. Repentance and peace. When there is repentance and forgiveness of sins, we see what this does. We see it today in baptism, that another child is welcomed into God's family. We see it in our lives, that it gives us true peace and forgiveness, that it gives us a true foundation to see everything in the world. When the world is trying to push you this way and that, to get you to believe this or that, or to put all your hope in yourself. But we can put our faith and trust in something that is real. That Jesus died for you. He lived for you. He rose for you. And when we talk about repentance and forgiveness, that we want to go to that repentance to be filled with that forgiveness. Not to be afraid of what God will do or say, but to know that Jesus has paid for your sins. So we go and repent of our sins to be renewed, to be given that forgiveness and peace that nothing else can give. That's what the Lord's Supper is. And that's what our daily life of being in devotions and reading God's Word and confessing our sins gives us, a peace that nothing else can give. But we go forth, because as much as we have this, we want others around us to have it as well. And so you might say, well, what? I can't share this message because, they're not going to believe me, or I don't know enough, or it might hurt my friendship. But we see people in so many other places in the world that face persecution, that they know that they could be arrested for their faith. And they go boldly. And yet, are we afraid to share with a friend or a family member? God will be with you. God will give you the words and maybe the patience to listen, and to share the truth. We know it's an unpopular mission, but we know it is relentless because God is working through it. The Holy Spirit is working through it to give you the words, to give you the boldness. We see the change that the disciples had from that time in John, locked in a room, to now boldly going from prison out to preach again, saying we must obey God rather than men. This is the boldness I pray that we have as we go and share this meaningful mission that you have all the days of your life. Amen. Please stand. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.